transfigured on the Mount, O Christ our God.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Be Transfigured, where we invite you to live a new life in Christ. We pray that this episode is a blessing to you and will inspire you to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us for worship or study at the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida, where visitors are always welcome. We'll be back in a few moments to share some more information about our ministry.
These weeks since Pascha, the church has been giving us these wonderful opportunities for us to believe in the resurrected Christ, to believe in the power of God. And in this morning's gospel, my brothers and sisters, we are face to face with a choice of to either believe or to remain blind. The healing of the man born blind is not a simple miracle. In fact, it is one of the signs of the Messiah. This is one of the things that we know from the Gospel of John that we have been reading since Pascha. These miracles that John portrays in his Gospel are very particular miracles because they were prescribed in the Old Testament that they would be signs of the Messiah. And it says, if we're paying attention to the story, there was never a time that someone who had been born blind received their sight again, and that would be one of the signs of the Messiah. So this is a very significant moment in the gospel. And so the fathers of the church want us to understand who it is that is participating in this story. This man represents all of us, because all of us, my brothers and sisters, were born blind. Each and every one of us was born into a world where we did not fully understand God's presence in our face. And yet, just as in this morning's gospel, God performs something in our life that opens our eyes. It's a moment, as St. Irenaeus reminds us, that brings us all the way back to Genesis in God's creating power. This man, his eyes, we could say, for lack of a better description, were not completely created when he was born, because they didn't work. And so in the gospel, when it says that the Lord reached down and using his own spittle, he formed a clay, this is the same language, the same creation language that we see in the book of Genesis. And so God completed this man's eyes right then and there in front of all the people. But not before telling the onlookers, the disciples and those around him, why the man was born blind to begin with. They ask, is it because he sinned? Was it because his parents sinned? Now, of course, it couldn't have been because of him, because it is impossible for us to sin in the womb. He says, and not even because of his parents, but that the glory of God may be made known. And then he heals the man right in front of them with his hands reaching down with the clay. And his eyes are opened. But then there's this problem. You've got the Pharisees. You've got the religious elites. They, on the other hand, seeing the power of God, knowing that this man was born blind, they did an extensive investigation, bringing witness after witness, even bringing his parents, asking him over and over and over again, how is it that you can see? They remained blind by choice. See, there's two kinds of blindness in the world. Physical blindness that is not our choice. It may be because of some virus. It may be of a neurological damage. There are many physical things in our world that can create blindness. Not by choice. That blindness, my brothers and sisters, is only temporary. It might be healed by doctors and by medicine. It might be healed by God. Or we might go through our entire life physically blind, but always able to see God in our presence. Because we do not need our physical eyes to see God. We need our hearts. But thanks be to God, He gives us our senses. He gives us the ability to see Him with our eyes, to taste Him with our tongue, to hear Him with our ears, to touch Him with our hands, to smell Him with our nose. All of the senses God gave us for only one reason, so that we could discover Him and that we could come to appreciate Him as our Creator, as our Father. And so the conversation goes on with this man and the Pharisees, and then his parents don't want to have anything to do with the investigation. Because they're afraid, because the temple had already put out word, anyone who believes in this man Jesus, you're going to be kicked out. And so his parents chose to remain blind. They chose to ignore the truth right in front of their face, because they would rather be on the inside, as it were, socially speaking, politically speaking. They would rather have been on the inside, not being kicked out of the synagogue, than to believe in God's power. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where we come today. Whether we see God and believe is our choice, and our choice alone. God continues to provide us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to open our eyes and to see. Some of us, by God's grace, are even blessed to receive the gift of some kind of miracle, witnessing some kind of miracle in our life, either directly to ourselves, or we have witnessed the miracle of others. Many of us, I'm sure, have witnessed many of the miracle icons, the weeping icons, where the Panagia is crying tears of myrrh. And we have a choice. Do we open our eyes and see God for who He is? Or do we choose to side with the inside political elites and to remain blind? The world, my brothers and sisters, is turning against us. As we hear Christ over and over again, the world has the devil as their father, because the devil is the father of lies and God is truth. It's our choice, my brothers and sisters. Do we choose to remain blind? It's possible that we get so wrapped up into our own existence. We get so consumed with ourselves, in our own self-righteousness. Remember, this goes way back even before Pascha, the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee was so consumed with his own righteousness that he was blind to his own sinfulness. And that, my brothers and sisters, where I'm afraid each and every one of us struggles every single day. We say we believe. We do our stavro as if we believe. We come and kiss the icons as if we believe. But do we live as if we believe? Or do we go into the world after divine liturgy afraid of being ostracized, afraid of being put on the out from society if we are too religious? I'm sure you've heard the saying, oh, he wears his religion on his sleeve. as if it's some bad thing to live as like we really love the Lord. It's our choice to remain blind. And the church offers these continual opportunities so we can repent in our life, so we can do as the man did in this gospel. At the end of the story, Jesus says to him, and he asks us, my brothers and sisters, Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." My brothers and sisters, we have seen the Lord. In a few minutes after receiving Holy Communion, we're going to sing the beautiful hymn, "We have seen the light," in Greek, eidomentophos, the true light. We are even in the presence of the actual light from the tomb of Christ, the holy fire, the agiophos, which this year for the first time in history was brought from the tomb of Christ and has come to America. We are in the presence of the miracle light of Christ in our church right now. We have seen the light. Do we believe in it? Has it come into our hearts and had an effect in our everyday life? Or are we going to wake up tomorrow completely enwrapped in the worries of the world, completely consumed in our own existence, where we blind the light out from our vision? Or are we going to say, as this man said, "Lord, I believe." And then John continues and finishes the story, and he worshiped him. My brothers and sisters, it is no longer sufficient for us to simply say we believe in God. We must begin living it, not just Sunday mornings, not just when we have someone in the hospital and our mind is worried, but each and every moment of our life, we have to live as if we have seen the light. And we have to be willing to choose to see instead of choosing blindness. That's a gift from God. It is what this entire Pascha season has been about. Sunday after Sunday, story after story, opportunities to witness God and to choose to believe in Him and live in union with Him, in communion with Him. Christos Anesti, Christ is risen. Now let's open our eyes and live the rest of that message. Glory to God for all things.
As far as they could bear it.
Be Transfigured is a production of Be Transfigured Ministries in cooperation with the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida. We depend upon your generosity to maintain our ministry. You can make a safe online donation when you visit our website, liveanewlifeinchrist.org.